are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 podcast. No turn from Robbie. Robbie and I, this is the second time we're attempting this. Robbie had a beautiful, almost, I would say it's almost, who is it on Sunday Night Football? Chris Collinsworth. Slide in from you. Credit, you know. So here it is. Beautiful stuff. Robbie did that the first time. It was gorgeous. That one was pretty good too.
I almost felt corny doing it the second time, but here we are.
It was pretty natural the first time, I have to say. All right, so you and I were discussing quarterbacks. Let's just get into the games, and we'll use that to discuss the quarterbacks. That's Robbie Triano of SiriusXM. I am Josh Neighbors of both SiriusXM and the Locked On Big 12 podcast. All right, Robbie, I've got the games out for this week. We've got nine of them that we're going to preview. And sometime you can preview it by the big games, but we're going to go by the schedule because that's what I like to do. I like to present a menu to the fans of what they're watching. So first game, 11 Central time on Fox. It's Nebraska at number 3, Oklahoma. Oklahoma 22-point favorites. Now, this game is just – it's so spicy because obviously it's the anniversary of the game of the century. But really, I feel like the modern-day spin on it is the more interesting part because everything going on with Scott Frost, you know, this week it sounds like he's, you know, at his press conferences, like he's in a hostage video. He does not look pleased. Kind of dead man walking type feel. But I don't think they're horrible. I thought in that first half of their game against Illinois, I thought they were the better team. And like, I just thought they kept shooting themselves in the foot. Then they got steamrolled in the second half by a backup quarterback. So, you know, they're not very good. This game to me is more about Oklahoma, about reminding us why, you know, they're Oklahoma against a Power 5 team. Because the last Power 5 team or Power 5 against a Division 1 team, the last D1 team they played, Tulane, almost won the game. So this is a great opportunity for Oklahoma, in my opinion. I'll lay the 22 in this game, I want to see what Spencer Rattler can bring to the table because inconsistency is kind of been his thing right now.
Yeah, I'm going to take the 22 as well of Oklahoma, and I really think that they had a huge wake-up call at that game against Tulane. Now, we're finding out Tulane is actually a pretty good team, so that was a good wake-up call for them. But Western Carolina, who is not a good opponent, they're not a good opponent, but 76-0, I think that was a get-right game for Oklahoma. And heading into Nebraska in this unbelievable environment, the stories I'm hearing from the fans of Norman going to this game, Nebraska is walking into a buzzsaw. I think this is going to be an absolute shellacking of this team. And if you look at, you know, these rivals that were so loved, and like I obviously have not been around for this rivalry because I'm young enough where these teams, well, Nebraska wasn't in the Big 12 or, you know, they weren't as relevant at the same time while I was growing up to love college football. So when you look at these games, you're seeing a program who is at the top of its powers right now of Oklahoma and Nebraska, who might see their head coach out by the end of the year. So this is a very intriguing game. I'm looking forward to see how that defense of Oklahoma handles Nebraska as well. And then, you know, I want the stars. I want Spencer Rattler to have a big game. I want him to have that Heisman Trophy type of game. This is the type of game you want to expect that from Spencer Rattler. So I think Oklahoma is going to shellack Nebraska. And I think by the second half, you can watch the rest of the Big 12 slate.
Yeah, they, you know, Nebraska lost that first game, but since then they've only allowed 10 points. Now, granted, it was to a combination of Fordham and Buffalo, but they're coming off a 28-3 win over former Buffalo coach Lance Leipold. That's still a lot of his team. I know he lost a bunch of guys, but still some of his guys are still there. So win over them. You know, he's got 7 total touchdowns on the season. He ran for over 100 in the last game too. He's really their offense, though. And if Illinois could slow him down, I think Oklahoma's got a great chance of slowing him down too. So I think this is a showcase game for Oklahoma. It's important that they make it a showcase game, right? Do not make this game close. Do not allow it to be close.
Right.
And I think with this rivalry, I think Oklahoma wants to make a point in this game. I mean, you know, I think both teams would like to make a point, but one team's got the ability to do so. So I think for Oklahoma, it's about like making that statement.
Yeah. If you're looking at this game, one thing, which is like a nerdy thing to look forward to, is the offensive lineman, Wanya Morris, who came from Tennessee over to Oklahoma. He's now getting a role with this team. I would watch out for him, because what I'm hearing, the intel of Wanya Morris, he's an absolute beast. He just has struggles of, you know, where exactly, you know, he's trying to just like catch up to speed on what that Bill Biondo offensive line is working on. So I would look out for that. But man, if you just look at the dudes at Oklahoma, like they have not shown out until last week against a bad opponent. So I'm looking out to be, this is Oklahoma's, okay, we're planting our flag in college football saying we are here. We're here to compete with the Alabamas of the world. So this is the game I'm seeing Oklahoma is going to run away with. And that atmosphere is, I hope to be awesome, because from out this entire season, I mean, Nebraska tried to duck this team. Tried to duck Oklahoma. So I think that they're going to shove that in their face a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think because of that, there's plenty of impetus to make the statement. All right, a game that I will be going to. It sucks both these games are at noon or 11 Central Time on FS1. Virginia Tech at West Virginia. West Virginia, 2.5-point favorites. This game to me is whoever's offense can be a bit more efficient. I think there's a lot of questions about both teams' offenses. Excuse me, Jared Daigie made a lot of mistakes, right? We saw him against Maryland, did some good things, but a lot of bad. And for Virginia Tech, they had a nice win. They're able to get against MTSU, kind of pace themselves. And then obviously they had that win against North Carolina, a game that they could have put away several times. Tech continually shot themselves in the foot, but Carolina did not want to win that game. And a lot of it's because Tech's defense. Virginia Tech's not a team that's able to go down the field a whole lot. A majority of their passes are near or behind the line of scrimmage. So for them, it's about getting that offense going a little bit, trying to see if they can do anything. And hopefully having the defense hold steady for them. I think this is a battle of two quarterbacks who have had interesting careers. Braxton Burmeister is a transfer from Oregon. Now he is at Virginia Tech, and Jared Daigie's a guy who's been at West Virginia, but it's about time that he makes a statement about how good he is as a quarterback. And somebody in that West Virginia receiving core needs to step up. They need some guys to get separation. I'm worried about that Tech secondary potentially manhandling West Virginia this week.
Yeah, I'm going to let you handle the Virginia Tech side of things, because you're a lot more tuned in with them as a fan. The one thing I'm looking forward to, are they really going to run with Jared Daigie this game? Because Garrett Green, although they're playing Long Island University Sharks, the Sharks of Long Island.
I didn't know Long Island had a football team.
Yeah, I didn't even know there were Sharks in Long Island, too. That seems a little weird. But they ran with Garrett. They ran with Garrett Green, and he led their team in rushing with 98 yards, 14 carries, and 2 touchdowns. Jared Daigie has been, I think, the least impressive quarterback in the conference this season so far. Obviously, that game in Maryland, I just thought he made poor decisions that game, and that's just been the overall criticism with Jared Daigie during his Big 12 tenure. And Jared Green, I think, is they want that mobile type of guy. So if Jared Daigie struggles early, I wouldn't be surprised to see Garrett Green enter this game. And I'm going to say it is an advantage for West Virginia to be home at this game, because if it was in Virginia Tech, I don't think this would go well for West Virginia. I'm still skeptical if West Virginia will win this game. I have Virginia Tech winning this game with the points. West Virginia has been a team I've not been high on leading into this year, and I'm going to continue that train rolling.
Yeah, as much as Virginia Tech is a team that's known for their inconsistencies, I think West Virginia, and look, once again, we like Neil Brown. I think he's a really good coach. I just don't know if this group is, like, they lost a lot on defense, and then they're still trying to find some weapons on offense. I just don't think this group is, like, one of the better groups that he's going to have. And I'm with you, you know, at the quarterback spot. Also, Jared Daigie's been sacked 5 times the year. Not a lot of those, it felt like, were the offensive line's fault always. It felt like there were some points where he, you know, maybe hold the ball too long. And we already seen the interceptions. We know he is susceptible to making bad decisions. The problem for Jared Daigie is the last 2 games that we've seen him against power five competition or quality competition, I should say, Army in the bowl game and this game here. And it looked like really at times maybe taking a step forward, but on the whole, probably not. You know, he hadn't really made that jump, made those corrections from last year to this year. So I think it's a great test. We'll see. I'm with you. It's not just a homer pick. I do think Virginia Tech wins. I think this is like a weird story for Virginia Tech because Justin Fuente, it feels like, was almost out the door. Right. And they brought him back, and it feels like they're just kind of waiting for it to be a non-COVID year to get it done. They get a huge win. They didn't falter last week against MTSU. They're in a good position here against a struggling team, but it would look good as a win, you know, despite West Virginia's flaws because they're favored. So I think this is a big spot for Virginia Tech right here. All right, we're going to get some more of these games here in a second. But first, Robbie, we have to thank the sponsors of this very fine program here, the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Our friends at rockauto.com, sponsors of this podcast for a long time. Guys, go to rockauto.com if you need anything for your car or truck, daily driver or work car. They've got thousands of parts from hundreds of manufacturers. You go there today, and also you'll find the lowest prices, lower especially if you compare it to what you get at a chain store or from a dealership. There's no need to pay more. Go to rockauto.com and check that out today. Write Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box. That way they know we sent you. Amazing selection, always low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. All right, let's get a couple filler games here in a second. This is a pretty big game right here. Your Kansas State Wildcats.
Yes.
Those of you who don't know, on Big 12 today, Robbie spun the wheel to pick his Big 12 team for this year. He landed on Kansas State. Now, with Skylar Thompson, gangbusters. They were awesome for, well, I guess, was it the first four or five quarters of the season when they had Skylar Thompson? Obviously, gets the injury. You know, we'll see what his status is. But they've got a six-game stretch. I've been saying it all week. They're going to be underdogs probably in the next every game they have the next 6 weeks. It starts right here. This is a game that if Will Howard can find a way to win it, would be a huge confidence boost for them moving forward as they go up against a potential first-round caliber quarterback next year in Carson Strong in Nevada. Will your Cats pull it off, Robbie?
What is intriguing me is that this line started out at 2.5 for Nevada. So we have seen some line movement. It has gone down to 1. But what I saw from Will Howard last week, I know he was thrust in a situation he was not exactly ready for. But when your coach Chris Klieman calls Will Howard the best backup quarterback in college football, and he struggles mightily against Southern Illinois, the Salukis, that does not give me a lot of confidence because Nevada is a good team. And the one saving grace for this team so far this year, or in this game number two against Southern Illinois, was Deuce Vaughn. I still think he is just one of the best players in this entire conference. If Zach Evans didn't have the game he did last week, I think Deuce Vaughn should have won Offensive Player in the Week. 26 carries, 120 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's going to be relied heavily for the rest of this year. I think he's going to take such a load on that. And also Malik Knowles. I think Malik Knowles has been such a huge player in this team that we need to see emerge more. He had a big week last year, 4 catches, 112 yards against Southern Illinois. And really, if you have a Kansas State fan in your life, I need you to contact them. I need you to hug them. I need you to love them, because what happened to Skylar Thompson last week is so brutal. There is no other player, if they were to go down in any other Big 12 team, that can affect them as much as Skylar Thompson going down.
I agree. That's 100% right. I mean, you think about how good they looked. They thumped Stanford, and he paced the offense perfectly. Deuce Vaughn, like you said, spectacular. But how long can you lean on a guy like that? I know Deuce probably wants a lot of carries, and he's a young guy. But you can't just – I mean, he can't have 30-plus touches a game here, because he's going to – that's going to – cost you, it feels like, at some point in time, right? You can't just sustain that. We've seen that across the league, right? Chuba Hubbard had to slow down at some point in time and had to deal with injuries at some point in time. So I'm with you on this. Nevada, you're in for a treat, Kansas State fans. I know I'm not going to feel good, but you get to watch Carson Strong, who's going to make – he can make every throw in the book. He was able to do it against that Cal defense, and I know, hey, maybe is that Cal defense that good? TCU torched them. But – That's a Cal team that Nevada beat. So I'm going to take Nevada here on the road. Will Howard has not shown me anything that should tell me I should take him in any game. I know Kansas State's at home, and I really like them as a collective when they've got their quarterback there. But this is a different story, because this is the kind of quarterback who might put your defense in some bad positions.
Yeah, if you're Kansas State, you just need to win a possession battle here. Keep that Nevada offense off the field. I think if you're Will Howard, you have to be a little bit more mobile in this game. But I'm just looking at Kansas State's schedule, and like, this Skylar Thompson injury could not come at a worse time. Nevada at Oklahoma State, home against Oklahoma and then home against Iowa State. Like, this
and then
is
they
a
have Texas Tech and TCU, I think, after that.
Yeah, Texas Tech on the road, then TCU, and then
they're not going to be favored in any of those games if Will Howard's a quarterback.
I think the only game they're going to be favored for the rest of the year is Kansas, to be perfectly honest. I think that this injury, I mean, it did not look good. The second you saw it, everyone's mind went, season is over. Like, they're saying he's indefinitely and he can come back. I'm not too sure about that, because when you looked at it, I mean, Skylar Thompson was crying on the field. Like, when that happens, that is not week to week. Like, that I'm very nervous for them. So if you see a Kansas State fan, hug them. But man, like, we would say Skylar Thompson, after Brock Purdy's performance, is probably the second best quarterback in the league. And now that he's out, like,
that's what's thrown him so much love preseason. He's just so solid. And like, that's what we see. And look, in the games where Will Howard played last year, and like was really featured. Now, he did play some of that TCU game, but he didn't play particularly well. He completed 42% of his passes and ran for a touchdown. KU game, he was fine. And then they won. And then the rest of the year, they lost every other game that he started. So that's kind of the situation there. All right, some kind of middling games here. We'll clean these up pretty quickly. So 2:30 on ESPN Plus, Baylor at Kansas. This game's interesting because Kansas is better. Last week it was a one-score game in the third quarter against Coastal. They got blown out then, but still, that's progress. That's definitely progress. They had themselves, you know, in a decent position at times. This Baylor team, though, is much improved. Robbie, you pointed it out. PFF has them as the best offensive line in the country so far. I don't think that number is gonna hold up for the rest of the season. Weak competition, but if they've improved in those areas, handling Kansas should not be a problem for them.
Yeah, this is a Baylor team that in their first game, obviously they struggled, even though they got a win over Texas State. But yeah, this is I am like buying all the stock on this team. I'm buying all the stock on the Jeff Grimes offense. They played Texas Southern, which statistically is about 250 in the country of their ranking. So I would not take a lot of stock into that, but I've been very, very impressed with Gary Bohannon. I think he is such a nimble type of quarterback. You know, when he's making these goal line runs against Texas Southern, he has this type of wiggle to him. And I like the way he can be mobile. And this Jeff Grimes offense requires a quarterback that can throw the deep ball. He's been proven to do that, and they have the weapons to do that as well. Tyquan Thornton, Tressen Ebner has been unbelievable out of the backfield. Abram Smith, they have these players right now, and then we know what they have on their defense. I'm really high on this Baylor Bears team. I think they're a top five team in this conference right now, and I like truly believe in what they're doing right now. I think Kansas is walking into a game that, although they are home, I think Baylor is going to cover here, but I do have some points on Kansas because I've also been impressed with them. Yes, they lost to Coastal Carolina 49-22. They didn't turn over the ball at all. And when you look at their stats, they're about neck and neck to like the total yardage with Coastal Carolina, and they lost by 27 points.
27.
I think Jason Bean is
there. They cost a little money. I had him plus 26.5. It was rough.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Well, I think Jason Bean has been impressive for them. I don't think, you know, he's playing like a first-year player for Kansas, even though he played at North Texas before. But I think on the ground, he can do some things. I think it's going to take some time. I have Baylor on this, but I believe in this Kansas. I believe in this Kansas future. I believe they're playing the game the right way. They just do not have the talent at all to compete with the Big 12.
It's important Jason Bean can throw on the run, right, because their offensive line's not great, so they can, you know, kind of create different angles and try to make some plays that way. And yeah, I'm with you, but I think Baylor's going to win this game by over 20.
Yep.
All right, so this next game, FIU and Texas Tech. This should not be close. This one should not be close. 6 Central and ESPN Plus. Texas Tech, do not let this be close. This is what I'm saying to you all. Besides that one beautiful touchdown they had last week to Azakama, it was a struggle bus. I mean, they were down in the fourth quarter, I think. They had to get a goal line stop or a goal to go situation stop to thwart Stephen F. Austin at in Lubbock. This is one of those we say, all right, we've gotten that out of us. Shake it all out.
Mm-hmm.
This week, put the hammer down and thump FIU. Not very good.
Yeah. Last year, Texas Tech also struggled against Houston Baptist. And I just want to be in that Matt Wells room the week before they play like a cupcake type of team and be like, what do they do? Because why do they make every fan in Lubbock's heart race during these type of games?
Right.
A player I've been impressed this year, though, is Taj Brooks. We know Sirajic Thompson has been out. Taj Brooks has really stepped up in the backfield for them. I'm looking forward to Tyler Shuck to go back to the player that we all expected him in the offseason. He did not have a great game against Stephen F. Austin. And if that's really all I'm looking forward to, I will not say I'm a Florida international savant. I'm not really knowing about this team. What I'm looking forward to this game, can this offense return to the norm? And I think they will. I think Texas Tech covers.
Yeah, I'm with you too. Another game between a couple, one obviously big team and a smaller school than Rice. Not that small. 7 Central on Longhorn Network. Love Longhorn Network. Rice at Texas. Now, we've all talked this to death all week long, so we'll keep it a bit short. I know people always get angry. We talk about so much Texas. I thought they should have rolled the Hudson Card here. I thought this would have been a great spot to get the bounce back. I don't know why you're playing both of them. I think Hudson Card showed such great promise in the first game that you say, hey, look, we lost in a hostile environment on the road in game 2. That's fine. Let's hit the reset button. It's okay. Go get him against Rice. I'm not with the changing quarterbacks here. Unless Sark really believes, hey, down the line, we're going to need a guy who can move the pocket, a guy we can roll out a lot more. And I think I made a mistake starting off with Hudson Card. I think Casey's the right move. But to me, I don't necessarily believe that's true. Sark knows more than me. But I think just this is – it's been a botched situation all the way around. I think even Steve Sarkisian will probably look back on this and say as much when – kind of things end.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I actually totally agree. There's two things I think about this quarterback situation. One that I think, we can say he did well over time. I think putting in Casey Thompson is better to have a mobile quarterback. I don't really believe in their offensive line at all. Like, I like Derek Kerstetter as like a person because he's been on our show before, but I do not think he is like a very highly touted NFL draft prospect out of that team. And if you want a mobile quarterback like Casey Thompson, sure. And if putting in Hudson Card like was the fuel to flame Casey Thompson to like step his game up, sure. But I feel terrible for Hudson Card. I feel like he's been placed in the situation that every time he fails, he's going to get pulled. And I don't think that was handled well. And I think he had a great first game against Louisiana. And then after this Arkansas game, it's just like one bad performance and you're done. I don't think that's a good way to handle your redshirt freshman quarterback. I don't think what Steve Sarkisian is like really right. Is he just trying to have this competition? Great. But like, I don't think that's the best way to develop your young talent. So Casey Thompson, I think will have a ginormous game against Rice, but I feel bad for Hudson Card.
Do you think Sark is just so used to having such high quality on the offense, on the quarterback position, that it's almost hard for him to like come to grips the fact that he's not going to get, maybe not even exactly, even close to exactly what he wants, but like, he refuses to settle, kind of, is what I'm saying. Do you think he's just kind of, I think his unwillingness to compromise and deal with what he's got is just showing, because I think he's just, I want what I want. I want to get this right. I want this to be perfect. And it's like, look, to me, that Casey, that Hudson Card game was going to come at some point, because it's a first time starter and he's going to go into hostile road environments, especially if he's there for a long time and he's there when they eventually go to the SEC. He's going to be doing that often. I thought it was a good learning experience for him. I thought that 3rd and 15 missed throw to Jordan Whittington set the tone for the day. If he hits that, it's a completely different game. And I thought, that was a good learning experience for him.
Yeah, I think if you're a Texas fan, you should believe in Hudson Card moving forward. That game against Louisiana, I thought he played great against what are we calling like a great defense, everyone was saying, this entire offseason. I think Hudson Card should be the guy. I think a lot of it has to do with the transfer portal here. I feel like one person, he doesn't want to lose one of these quarterbacks to the transfer portal. And I really think Steve Sarkisian is also used to having awesome offensive lines. I think being in Alabama, you are guaranteed to have this amazing, 5 up front. And I don't think he really has that. And I think he's really left, all right, do I want my freshman quarterback to get bullied by every defensive line and every defense? Or do I go with the mobile person who can give us the best chance to win these situations? If you're a Texas fan, be confident about Hudson Card moving forward. I think he's your guy.
All right. We'll move on to a couple more games that are left here. But first, a couple more words from our sponsors. Robbie, it's still summertime in Big 12 country. which means it's hot outside. And if you're going to a game this weekend, pick up some sweat block wipes from CVS on the way there. Tested on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters shows that it works. A 7-day guarantee, a dry shirt guarantee as well from sweat block wipes. You can find them at CVS, at Amazon, or if you can go to sweatblock.com, use promo code locked on. You can get 20% off on them today. So check them out. Sweat block wipes. Once again, Amazon, CVS, and sweatblock.com. Also, today's show, betonline.ag. They're throwing us these lines that we're using this week, player props, MLB odds for, you know, props, playoff props, whatever you want to bet on. They've got that there. Formula One, boxing, UFC, anything you want to place a little action on, you can find at betonline.ag. Sign up today on your phone, your computer, your laptop, whatever you want to do. When you do that, use the promo code locked on and you'll get a deposit bonus up to $100 as well. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, this game, Robbie, to me is the most important game of the day, because I think if, and it's not a conference game, but if Oklahoma State wants to be the third best team, or, you know, be the team that potentially could sneak into the Big 12 championship game, if things go totally awry for Iowa State, they need to win this football game. They need to do it, because I think we know their offense is going to do the best they can against the Boise State offense. It's pretty decent. They got a pretty decent offense. It's Spencer Sanders, and they got to take care of the football, and they can't go three and out all the time, and they got to help make sure they maintain some strong drives to keep their defense rested and ready, and so they can lean on them in bigger spots. Because my worry for Oklahoma State is they're going to lean on their defense in too many games and be close, and they're going to ask too much of their defense too often, and it's not going to, a lot of games aren't going to go their way because of that when they play upper level competition.
Yeah, and I look at Spencer Sanders, and part of me wants me to just like give up on the Spencer's experiment, because I think we have this idea of what Spencer Sanders should be more than what he actually is. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're like, oh, he should be a top three quarterback in the Big 12. And I just don't think he really is that. And I'm not going to blame him for that, just who he is. But I also don't think he's put into really great situations. I think this offense kind of stinks. I think what they do on offense kind of stinks too. In these second and long situations against Tulsa, they were running on like, they're like, after
they had a,
like,
couple third and sevens where they ran the ball too.
Yeah, and it's just like, what are we doing here? Like, this offense stinks. And I'm not very high on Oklahoma State after this Mike Gundy offseason talking about how this is the best team that he's had. You know, this is the hardest working they've been. It's just like, this offense is like nothing to be impressed with. This is not the Mike Gundy offense that I really think about. And really, I don't want to say they're lacking weapons, but they're lacking the offensive, you know, playmakers that they usually have. And I think that Spencer Sanders has really asked to do a lot, and he's not that capable of doing that. Their defense is awesome. Malcolm Rodriguez is my favorite player on defense to watch in this conference, but I do not have Oklahoma State winning this game. I think they have been the biggest disappointment in the league this year so far. Even though they are 2-0, they have not looked great. And then either of these two games.
No, they were awful in both games, to be quite honest.
Yeah, if like they had to rely on this amazing play by LD Brown to basically have them in this game against Tulsa. So Oklahoma State has been a major disappointment. At 2-0, I think that comes to a close. I think they lose to Boise.
Yeah, I want to say they go up there and win, because I'm a huge Spencer Sanders guy, but like, I can't say with what they've put on tape, you know, so far this year, that they're going to do that. Now UCF moved the ball up and down the field on Boise, but you know, UCF has a good, really good coach, and we know their offense is pretty decent as well. Got some good playmakers. They need to get it. One thing is too, Oklahoma State needs to get more healthy at wide receiver. They had some guys, I feel like everybody was leaving the game banged up last week too. So that's pretty important. But this game feels like it's the big one. This weekend, it feels like this game's going to tell us the most about the conference moving forward. Like, if you want a game that's going to, you know, maybe have some definition in terms of the conference race later on, this is the one, even though it's a non-conference battle. One more, Robbie, you got to clean this one up here too. It's at 9:30 Central, I believe. Iowa State, UNLV, 31.5 points. This is what we call a get right game.
No, I mean, you took the words out of my mouth.
That's all I had to say about it, because I'm not sure what else to say. You should beat the hell out of UNLV, right?
You should. And from what I've seen this year before, I think I would take the points with UNLV. I don't think that, you know, I don't think Iowa State's offense has really shown that they can do that. Maybe this is a game they come in hungry and pissed. UNLV is one of the worst in the country, but it's not Brocktober yet. I think they're going to win this game, but man, that is such a disappointing game against Iowa. I'm still upset about that. And what is happening to Brock Purdy? Oh, man. Like, we really had him as the second best quarterback in this league. And he gets
which wasn't unreasonable. And that's consensus, too. That was a consensus.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's saying, is he a first round talent? And then we see against Iowa, and he's mentally, like, just not there. Like, Holly Rowe, who is the host on Big 12 Today, who was on the sidelines, good friend of Josh and I's, she was saying that on the sidelines, she was looking at Brock, and he just looked shell shocked. He was like, what is going on? Why am I turning the ball over? And I really think he does get in his own head sometimes here. So if you're an Iowa State fan, I think you want him to go out and ball. I think you need to get him going in the right direction, heading into the Big 12 play, because I still think Iowa State has a chance to win this conference. They have the veteran. They have this unbelievable defense. Against Iowa, I thought their defense was straight up amazing. Like, the only reason they lost that game is because of their turnovers on offense. I really think if they play that game a lot more times, I think Iowa State would win a lot. I think their defense is that great. You're looking at the offense of this game, and going after this game at Baylor, and then you're home against Kansas, and then you're at Kansas State. This is a good ramp to be good by the end of the year when you play Oklahoma and win this conference.
Yes, there you go. Yes, I love the ramp analogy too. I always use that too. All right, we got our Saturday 7. I don't have the graphics for these, but we're going to pick them. Cincinnati on the road against new Big 12 school Cincinnati on the road against Indiana. Can Luke Fickell's group take out the fighting Michael Penixes? I think Cincinnati goes on and wins this game.
Let's go. New Big 12. Of course, I'm going to ride with my new folks. Welcome in, Luke Fickell. Let's hope you stay here and don't go to USC. So I'm riding with Cincinnati here. And I've not been high in Indiana. I think on our first Saturday 7, I was not very high on them. And then they got blown up by Iowa. I am going to ride with that, even though I almost went to Indiana. Cincinnati wins.
There you go. Michigan State, your Michigan State Spartans. Is it smoke and mirrors? Is it not? They will play Miami, who could also potentially be smoke and mirrors. This is a who is real game. I think Miami wins this one at home, though. I think they'll take the advantage. You're going to pick your Michigan State Spartans.
Of course I'm going to pick Michigan State, and I do not think this is a smoke and mirrors. I really do love this team. I love their offense. I love their quarterback, Peyton Thorne. I love their running backs. Kenneth Walker III, he is a beast.
From Wake Forest.
Yes, he is. This is a good team. I love watching this Michigan State team. Mel Tucker has his team in the right spot. This has been the first time in a long time I've been proud to be a Michigan State Spartan fan. Let's go. I have Michigan State winning this game and covering, most importantly, 6 points. Disrespectful. This is a good team. Peyton Thorne's a beast.
I would say Michigan State loses, but it's close. I would say that's where I'd go. Alabama, Florida. Can Florida cover here? They're gonna end up being, let's see, it's 14.5. I bet that line goes up a bit more. I bet it's like 16.5 a game time. I think not. Well, probably 15.5 a game time. Can the two quarterback system work?
I do like their quarterback, Richardson. I think he's been a beast this year. Just looking at him, like, oh my God, this guy is massive, like a physical freak. Yeah. But obviously, I'm going Alabama here. There has been no team that can match Alabama this year. I think they are by far, maybe Georgia, but Alabama is just this juggernaut this year. And I just think today we should just stop the season, crown them, and then just determine the rest of the conference champions. Because that's what I'm really looking for the rest of the year. Alabama's going to win the national champion.
It feels like we're heading that way once again. South Carolina plays Georgia this weekend. This one's on the list because the quarterback battle is really interesting. Zeb Nolan, people act like Zeb Nolan was like awful at Iowa State. Like, he wasn't awful at Iowa State. They're like, oh, hey, this guy comes off the bench out of nowhere. It's like, yeah, but he still played football at like a Power 5 level and was decent. It's not like, you know, he's just, you know, homeless guy they picked up and asked to play quarterback for them. He goes up against Georgia. I'm actually not sure if Stetson Bennett or JT Daniels is going to be playing this week, but 31.5 points is the spread. Stetson Bennett actually is on the injury list with JT Daniels, so they might have to go to, I think it's Beck is the four-star kid they've got. But I'm not sure it really matters what the quarterback situation is for Georgia at home against South Carolina.
Yeah, I'm going to take the points here just because of that quarterback issue at Georgia, and I want to see Shane Beamer succeed. Obviously, Oklahoma coach there and then goes to South Carolina. I'm going to take the points here. I'm not very confident about it. I might be looking at my ESPN tracker on Saturday going, oh, shit.
Yeah, you might. You might. I think I'm going to go with you, though, just because, you know, we'll cheer for Shane Beamer, obviously, the connection to Virginia Tech. Auburn and Penn State. Penn State, 5-point favorites. I'm taking Penn State. You know, I'll never bet on Bo Nix on the road. You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put myself in that kind of situation. So I'm going to go with Penn State.
Yeah, the whiteout in Penn State, that is one thing I want to see in real life. That is the game of the week. I'm picking Penn State as well, just because I think that home environment is just unbelievable at Penn State.
This is an interesting one. UVA against UNC. UVA has been awesome so far this year. UNC, not so much. In their game against Virginia Tech. But these are basically identical schools, UVA and UNC, in terms of academic profile, which I always find super interesting. Bunch of nerds. I think North Carolina wins. I think it's a close game. And I think the Fighting Sam Howells get back on track.
Yeah, I'm going with Virginia with the points here. I think North Carolina is going to win, but Virginia's been impressive this season. 2-0, good start for them. I'm picking Virginia with the points, but I think UNC should go back to their old ways and win.
This line, I love this one for our new Big 12 team. BYU, number 23 in the country, is hosting Arizona State. Kalani Sitake's group is getting 3.5 at home at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. The top 25 opponent coming in after just beating Utah. I think BYU wins this game outright. I'll take the points. I'll take a money line. I love the Cougs here. Go, Jaren Hall. Let's go.
I'm riding with you, too. Welcome to the Big 12, BYU. I want to go to a home game at BYU. I think that place is awesome. I think they are so electric for this conference. I think that was such a great grab by this league to get BYU. So let's ride with them. Everyone who listens to this podcast should ride for these four teams that just joined us forever. Let's welcome them in. When we come in, we want them to be at the top of their game.
Big hugs for all of them. We love all of them for joining the squad. The national media is trying to say, oh, you know, the four add-ins. We don't look at you that way. We don't look at you. You're family with us. We love that.
We love you.
All right, Robbie, I will see you in like 50 minutes yes. when our show starts. I appreciate you coming on as always, man.
All right. Thank you.